The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
I'll just go quickly to what I want to do this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, it says there, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life." Amen. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous." You know, when you look at that scripture, it's like God was already telling Joshua, "This is what I expect of you, and this is what I'm going to also release to you." But as we go on, you begin to see that I noticed some things that I probably hadn't noticed for a while reading that scripture. But I noticed it while going through it this time around. But I will save that as I go on. In Psalm 1 verse 2 to 3, the Message translation, Pastor Peter helped us out with this yesterday. He said, "Instead, you chew to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You are a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping the leaf, always in blossom." So, we find here that God's intent is that we constantly blossom. And if you look at it, that's one of our core scriptures for this year's thrive. And blossom there is actually to thrive, to succeed, to prosper continually. Praise God. So I'm going to be talking about healed to thrive. Healed to thrive. Healed to thrive. I will back up a little bit with that scripture we read initially. If you look at that scripture carefully, you find out that Joshua was spoken to by God, and he was taking a new phase. Initially, Moses had just left. Moses had died and gone to be with God, as it were. And Joshua was the next person to take up. And I want you to imagine that you were Joshua. Just picture that you're Joshua and you had 200 million people to lead. And in Nigeria's number is about 200 million, right? It's about 200 million. Just imagine you are the one, you're leading 200 million people who have different ideologies. Taking the cognizance that we are from different ethnic groups in our country. Look at all the issues that go within our nation, the political divide, the religious divide, all those things. And then you are now the one who's supposed to sit as the president, as it were, because that's what Joshua was supposed to do. And he was supposed to bring about change in their lives. And then he's sitting down there a little bit confused, because now the weight of responsibility is now lying on him. Am I making sense to you at all? Initially, you know, when you're not the one leading, it's easy to say anything you want to say. You know, you can't feel the weight of what the leader in front is faced with. So he now started remembering all the realities of what Moses was going through. I'm sure what ran through his mind was one period of time when Moses' father-in-law came in and said, "Okay, you cannot do this with the people. You need to share, you know, and, you know, break down and make sure that you are not doing all the work yourself." I'm sure he must have been thinking in his mind, "Who are going to be my aides? Who's going to be my SA? Who's going to be my, you know, PA? All those names we have." I'm sure it was going through in his mind. And the thing that came to him, basically, I'm feeling that what came to him, basically, was the reality of his innermost incapability. The reality of life is, once something, when you're faced with responsibility, you now ask yourself, do I have all what it takes to lead these people? It's not just saying it. You know, you can say, I have what it takes. But when you sit down alone, that's when you now realize, you remember that one that's asking for milk. You remember that one that's asking for bread. You remember that one that's asking for akara. You remember that one that you have even given so much and that he's still asking for. You're wondering, when will you grow up? If you're a parent, you have a little bit of understanding what I'm talking about. All right? Or if you are an elder brother, you understand what I'm talking about. An elder, anyway. But the truth of the matter is that Joshua was faced with this. And all that was going through his mind, the minus that was existing in his heart, I believe was more than the plus, if you understand what I'm trying to say. The things he felt he didn't have was more than what he had. And while he was going through that in his mind, God simply came and told him, he said, be courageous. And I probably would be thinking, because if I'm Joshua, I'm saying, is it courageous I will chop? You know what he says, so be courageous. You're expecting that you are going, you give me a template on how we'll run this thing so that we will survive. What is be courageous? He says, no. I said, all he told him, you're going to lead these people. And all you need is be courageous. Wow. So, well, maybe Joshua didn't hear well. Because if he heard well, God will say it again. If you notice the beginning part of verse 7, he says, let's assume you didn't hear me well. All I said is be strong and courageous. For me, that is a little bit, there should be more. Especially if you are a Nigerian, there has to be more. Praise God. So, if you take the meaning of courageous, yeah, the next day, thank you so much. Courageous simply means not deterred by danger or pain or simply being brave. Not deterred by danger. So, obviously, when God was telling him courageous, Joshua must have seen all the difficulties, all the dangers, all the complexities of the different ethnic groups, of the religious divide, of the political divide. He saw all those things. And that painted a picture for him. Let me tell you something. If your mind can imagine what is dangerous to a point where you cannot hear God, you won't hear God. Am I making sense to you at all? You may never be able to do that, even though there's a prophetic word of value. So you need to understand the import of what is being said here. It says it means not deterred. That means you are aware that the danger is available. You are aware that there are issues on ground that are difficult, like I said about our nation. But you are confident that when you meet with that situation, there will be a solution that will pop up and will bring that situation down. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say. How many times have you said this word? Oh, wow, we didn't manage for Nigeria. You get my picture? It just pops out. That's a reality that you may not know that you're wearing, but it's actually with you. And it has come as a result of what you have seen over time. You know, Pastor was saying when she was talking, she said, listen, sometimes it looks like as if we have prayed and it's like the over our nation and it's like the situation is becoming worse or worse, if there's any word like that. Now, if you carry that template, all right? God wants you to try. Hello? So courage or courageous means not deterred by danger. I pray for everyone here that you have supernatural courage. A control exerted to do something or to restrain impulses. You know when you're trying, you're giving, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, you're giving a job to do and you're giving an assignment to do and you're, like some people will say, your mind not carry on. You've tried to do it, but no, that push is not just there. The motivation is not there. 200 million Nigerians and you will forget everything about motivation. Because all you are seeing is the weight of problem. Okay, for instance, let me just forget. The 200 million Nigerians is not helping too much. Power. It's not steady. For instance, it's not steady. It just went off. When you think about that and they are calling you and your predecessor has said, we will give power in 40 days. You are now asking yourself, where are we going with the power? Me, how am I going to give them power? Obviously, there are so many issues on ground. Let me come back to myself. A few weeks ago, we had a training, and Pastor, as far as I'm concerned, she's an enigma. I say it anyway. An enigma is somebody you cannot place, you know, it's something that is so beautiful, you cannot say exactly how to define it. So she was talking, and then she said something, and out of what she said, it was like God was talking to me. And I saw myself like Joshua. For the first time in my life, I had the boldness to tell him, sir, I don't understand what you said. I said, if you don't understand, then you are a fool. Right in front of the class. And I became actually a fool in the exam. But that's not the issue. I remember that when I went to federal school, just like what Reverend was saying yesterday, and you know, at that time, federal schools were well taken care of. I mean, and if you didn't have any weight, you can't be in the school. What I mean by weight, you should have something up here. And you know, I didn't have a problem in class, and I'm not telling you a story tale, it's the truth. At least when you count some numbers, you will find me there. So I didn't have a problem. And then I did sciences, as it were. Of course, you know now, I didn't do sciences, you know, as it were. I graduated with fine and applied that. Don't worry, that's a story for another day, if you don't know the story. But the truth of the matter is that, where I'm going to is that, what the flash that came back to me was, I remember the day we went to pick our results. We all moved from Benin here, me and some of my friends, and when we got to school, of course, they'll paste the results, and you know, some of the younger ones who were in school were older, would have already seen the result before you come. So when we came, I didn't think I was going to fail anyway, you know, but I got the shock out of my life. I saw 4 credits, and is it 4 P's now? I didn't have an F anyway, but a P is as good as nothing. I mean, so, you know, so you are not going anywhere. And the 4 credits didn't make any sense because, you know, it wasn't going to help. But I was seeing this flash. God was just showing me the flash. And then I now realized my younger friend, who was a junior, Jolomi, I don't ever forget his name. He came to me. I was like greeting all my other friends. I said, because they were expectant. They knew the guys in school that had to make it. You know, if you're anybody else, you know, I know this one can't, there's no way it can fail. So we went on that credibility that we cannot fail. So when we appeared, they saw this. I was shocked. I'm telling you, I was shocked. It wasn't dazed. I was shocked. I stood there for a while. Looking at it. I said, I didn't believe in my result. You know that kind of, you'll be humbled. I was humbled. And Jeremy came to me, Tony, what's up? I said, hey, yes. I knew they had seen the result. I didn't need to explain anything to him. But I guess he wanted me to explain what was going on. But all my friends around me, everybody made their papers. I was the only one that didn't make it. I mean, among those guys, because, you know, you have your group of guys. My guys made it. All of us that came from being that day, we made it. Me, I didn't make. And the irony was that they didn't tell me anything about it. They didn't make me feel bad, which I think was even worse. Looking at it now, it was worse. Because they just like, as if nothing happened. They say, okay, all right, let's go. And we went. I was walking as if I was knocking my knees, walking out of the school. I still remember. Because that day I dressed well, wore baggy trousers. You know, baggy trousers with shirt, everybody looking like. Those of you who know that time, you know. But God took me back to that flash. And there and then I realized what was lost. That was the first time I ever knew what was failure. Failure is not in my book. And something was taken away. I gave out something that day. I was shocked, but I didn't know that what was happening. I lost courage. When you're born, you're infused with everything that God wants you to thrive on it. And as time goes on in life, experiences can suck out what is supposed to make you thrive. I don't know what I'm making sense. So that experience pushed courage out. It pushed the willpower out. And I know, even my name, if you check it, that is estimable. You cannot, I knew myself, I'm intelligent. I don't understand. I'm intelligent, but I don't know why I'm not You know, when you are expecting that you see some things happen and you are not happening, I don't know, I'm speaking to somebody at all. And then you see it's not happening, but you know that this is not how it's supposed to be. And then when I mean by intelligence, I'm talking about being able to make a mark. You set a target for yourself in your heart, and then at the end of the day, it doesn't happen. And you cannot cry to anyone but yourself. Am I speaking to anybody at all? So I struggled with that. I didn't understand it. Until when we were having the fast, one day I was sleeping, and that's why it's good that we took the fast. I was sleeping and I woke up and I just heard this word. You don't have the willpower to do this thing. I've never heard it before. That was before Pastor. So God gives you stories in parts when he wants to restore you. That's why I read God is replanting, and I believe God will replant many of us today. So he said, you don't have the willpower to. Now, it wasn't as if it was the devil talking to me. It was God. A true father will show you your gaps and guide you out of those gaps. That's why I will forever celebrate Reverend Ben. And I'm not saying it because he will show you your gap. So he said, okay, you don't have the willpower for this. And I'm like, why? They used to tell me, take risk and faint. I'm wondering, I'm risking. Is this not risk? People will be seeing that you're not taking a risk. You will be seeing that you are taking a risk. That was what happened to Joshua. Joshua did not wonder. You know what it means to lead 200 people? It's risk and faith. And for you to try, you need that in your life. Because God can say something, and then if you're not willing to take the risk, you may not ever enter there. So he had to tell Gideon many times, you are a man of valor. Gideon had to inscribe that in his heart for him to move. It wasn't the fleece. Gideon need the fleece to drive away God. A fleece is that you put up something to say, okay, if it is God that is talking to me, let him talk. If it's not God, let him go. It wasn't the fleece. You see, there are situations where even God is talking to you. You say, God, it's not me you're talking to. You're talking to somebody else. That means your mouth is saying yes, but your heart is saying no. Now, these conversations I'm talking about were happening in my heart. It's not as if to say, so I knew something is wrong. But the moment this picture was going out, I saw where the problem was. I was the actual person that allowed that thing to come in. And he said, stand up. You can now change it. Because I've just shown you where the problem is. I've shown you where the issues are. I've shown you what's happening in your heart. And I want you to disconnect from that because that is not you. Listen, if you do not have an encounter with God for yourself, you may never know how to thrive for tomorrow. You did hear what I said? If you do not have, and encounters are continuous, because this is not the first encounter I'm having with God, and he's showing me some things that you need to cross your T's and dot your I's. You heard Reverend when he was talking yesterday. He says, I may not be perfect in all this, but I'm a work in progress. So we are all works in progress. So my goal here is not just to tell you, this is where I am. It's also for you to look at your own picture and say, okay, where am I? What are the things I need to see? So God put his light on me. Showed me, these are the things you need to take care of. The moment he said that, he said something. He said, I want to show you something. I believe this is where these ladies got this song from. Proverbs, Psalm 142, verse 7. It says, bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. Now, the way it came to me is, once God brings you out of the shell you found yourself or that you've walked into, you can truly glorify his name. Thriving means giving glory to God. Because when you thrive, you show people how good he is, how wonderful he is. When you're not thriving, people cannot see the goodness of God. You know that people will learn more from your examples and from your results than from your talk. Did you hear what I just said? Especially the younger generation of today, the reason why there's a conflict is because we have people who are talking and we cannot replicate our talk with our walk. But when the talk and the walk fits, nobody will tell you, they will just follow. Because they know that what you are saying and what you are doing are the same. And we are in that time and season. So you need to understand the import of this. It says, bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to God. Why am I saying this? I actually submitted myself to him in worship. Worship is not only the time you're singing. It's actually giving your body as a sacrifice each day. Say, Lord, I submit my body to you. All right? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, let your bodies be like a living sacrifice. which is this is an act of worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you read it, you see there. So your bodies can be like a living sacrifice. So you submit yourself to him. And in submitting yourself to you, he begins to shine light on the areas that need to be worked on. Hello? He begins to shine light on the areas that you need to be worked on. If Joshua never went to God, God would never told him, I don't think you are courageous, so you need courage. For somebody else, it may not be courage, it may be something else. But there is a word in season for you that will enable you to thrive. Did you notice the picture of what we've been using on thrive? It's like a plant that is sown on the soil, and then the plant is going out. So the word that God gives to you is a plant that you sow in your soil. And when it grows up, it thrives. That means it's thriving. And when people see, they can come and eat from its fruit. I don't know if I'm making sense to you at all. So you need to say, God, I'm submitting my soul to you. I'm submitting my body to you. Now, I just added to add this because this is, if you look at this, this is Job. Job says, how long will you torment me with and crush me with words? Now, I remember now, it wasn't the result that made me give up my courage. It was what Jelomi said to me. You know, people can say some very silent things to you. You won't know. Listen, Jolomi held me in high esteem. So it was like your junior coming to tell you, my brother Alpha. And I was saying, this boy that is looking up to me, now I can't show him anything. So that thing broke me. So words have a way of changing the description of your life. And if you're not careful, you will take the words that you think are nice, but they are not godly. A nice word is not necessarily a godly word. So you need to be able to decipher which one is a nice word and which one is a godly word. Because every word that is not God's word will steal from you. That's why the Bible says the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How does he come to steal and to kill and to destroy? By the words he sows in your heart. Did God really say? That's what he told Eve. Did God really say? So when you are not even sure of what things God said about you, you will begin to shift. So when Jeremiah spoke, it wasn't God that spoke to him. I didn't say what spoke to him, but it wasn't God that spoke to him. Because even Peter spoke to Jesus, and God, he said, get behind me, Satan. So there are some words you need to say, get behind me. Can you imagine how much I was held back by one word that one young man spoke? That he didn't even know. He just said something. He didn't say it, but I accepted it and it crushed me. So every development I would have taken. Now, that is why it took me time to now shift. So when I tell the story that I spent 13 years in school, some people don't understand. That would have been a good time to be a doctor. You know, one day mama was telling me, he was telling me, I want to introduce Dr. Tony Uzo. I say, please, I don't think I'm doctor yet. But anyway, let's look at it. If you add up, you know, 4 years reading plan and apply that plus four, it's only 13. So I would have read 4 plus 4 at all. For don't be doctor now. Praise God. So let's go back to what Pastor Peter told us yesterday. This is how I said the first thing is that you submit your body. If you want to change the scope of things, you submit your body so that God will shine light on the areas that are not working well. You worship him. All right, with everything that you have. And the next thing he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Now, I've heard many people talk about meditation. And they are all correct. Because meditation is actually deep thought on a particular thing that you're focusing on. And like Reverend says, sometimes we actually meditate. If you look at it opposite wise. Those who worry are actually meditating, but they are meditating on the wrong thing. So you have a way of meditating. Now, meditation cannot come without a picture. Remember I told you, I said, there's a way your picture will come. Your picture may so soak you up, and at the end of the day, you're missing out on what God is saying. But if you can take what God's word has said concerning you, because that day he told me, he gave me some scriptures. And he said, look at this scripture I've given to you. If you can soak them in yourself, you won't know what will happen to you in a few years coming from now. Because it will be too different from the person that you saw before. Meditation, as simple as it is actually finding yourself in the pictures of God's word. Sitting down to paint a picture. If you can slap your wife briefly, you can also hold your hands not to slap your wife briefly. You heard what Reverend was saying yesterday when he was talking about the talit. You hold your hand. To hold your hand simply means you have a focus on what God has said. I said something one day. I said, you know, I saw a couple of, and let me show you what meditation is about. I saw ants moving into a hole, and they were about to drop some. They were about to drop what they had from the hole, and obviously it was too big. You know, when little ants are carrying something that is bigger than them, they're trying to force it into the hole. And I said to myself, obviously these ants are very foolish. I didn't know God was coming for me. I said, these ants are foolish. This thing is going to fall down. He said, yes, they will fall down. And they will go back again and do it. I said, yes, they are very foolish. He said, let me tell you something. You know, like for instance, in marriage now, if you have a boss, will you ever confront your boss because you don't like what your boss said to you? And I said, not necessarily. Do you agree with everything your boss tells you? I said, not necessarily. You know why? He's paying you. You know you will lose your bar. Larry, you will know you will lose it. So you won't confront the boss. You will take what they say to you. That's how it is with marriage. You will take the bad, the good, and the ugly. And still not react. I say, eh. When you were married, it wasn't Hollywood. This is marriage according to the Bible. I said, maybe I don't understand. I said, come, let me tell you. Since I married you, I think I'm Jesus. I'm the bridegroom. You are the bride. Have I ever come down to shout on you since we married? I say, you are Jesus now. I say, hey, that's why you're making the problem. Are you getting the picture at all? That's what meditation does. Meditation makes you get into a place of intercourse. You know how sex is interesting for those of you who are doing it regularly. Legally. That's what I want to say. Not regularly. But you understand, you also need to regularize it. Women, thank you very much. I praise my wife. So, as I was saying, that's another subject for another day. You need to understand, it's intercourse. You get a picture, you begin to see yourself being that person with that word. Once the word mixes into your soul, it gives you what they call emotional stability. Did you hear what I said? Because it's your emotional imbalance that is making you behave the way you are behaving. You didn't hear me. It's your emotional imbalance that is making you react. You know when it says something, you say, I jump up. I know who's them be, where them they, your father. Sorry, it's not on TV. Okay, I made a mistake. But you know what I'm trying to say. You know, why are you people looking at me like this? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not abusing you. I'm just simply saying, you know, we do it now. When we're on the road, you say, let me remove my Christian jacket just for a little while. I will be with you. Those are things that are coming from a soul that's not receiving a word that will make it stable. You are unstable. And as you are unstable, it can torture your journey of thriving. This is an example of what I will soon be rounding off. Look at this. When you get the word of God, what it does to you, and I'll give you two scriptures to back it up, is that it releases peace and joy to you. Now, peace and joy, if you understand how it has been described, it has something it carries on the inside. There's an ingredient that peace and joy carries. If you notice in the book of Philippians, he said the peace of God will garrison your heart. That means the peace has capacity to lock your heart from misbehaving. You don't understand? To garrison means you know what it means to garrison? They are sending guards that when you want to even misbehave, something will tell you, you can't misbehave. You can't. You are royalty. You can't misbehave. You won't know what's controlling you. It will control you. Because you've accepted, it will garrison your heart. The second is that joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So even when you don't have the motivation or will, remember like I said, you don't have willpower, the joy of the Lord will send something to you that will make you have willpower. Listen, it is when people don't have peace and joy that they go into depression. That's emotional instability. You say, I'm depressed. I don't know why I'm just depressed. No, you now know why you are not why you are depressed. Anytime you are depressed, you lack peace and joy. And it comes from a word in due season that God has given to you to enable you to thrive. So when you are misbehaving on your inside, how many of you know sometimes? I know this because I was trained with it. The way some of us used to behave in Niger Delta with anger is as a result of what we saw. It's a tool. Anger is not the symptom. Sorry, yes? Anger is only a symptom. It's not the root. So, he told me something. You know when you want to talk to somebody? Maybe somebody is making you angry and you are discovering that maybe the bottle is inside you. Has this ever happened to you? It's as if something will be boiling at that point in time. Man talk. Or man do something. Has this ever happened to you? Eh? You know what? That's a signal. Don't talk. That's a signal. It's a signal coming to you. And it shows you how you are. That if you break out of that victory, they will know. Praise God. So what it does is that when you submit yourself to God, your soul, what happens is that it releases something into you. You begin to change your dimensions, and then your body has what physical energy to do what needs to be done. You can't be tired without. You can't be tired when you have God inside you. You can't be tired when you have the Word inside you. You can't be tired when you have meditated on the Word of God. So what is my take home today? I wrote it down so that if you are living here, you know what you need to do. I tried to write it down. Always realize that you need healing consistently in your life to thrive. There are many, we described inner healing in the past or unbound as, you know, onion peels that you're removing. They remove one, they remove the other, they remove the other one. So there's always something that God wants to remove. And then the last take home. Once you notice that you are having what? Some form of irregularity in your heart, or things are not working well in your soul, that is the time you need to find what is he saying for you now. And close your doors. Like when I go into your closet, carry your and begin to soak that word in. Because what the devil is trying to do is to stop you from a victory that God has already given to you. I don't know whether anybody is here today that maybe you probably have had issues. I feel that God's presence is here with us. And I feel that there's oil in the house to pick you up from where it picked me up. Because I'm standing very strong today inside me. There's nothing as good as when your internal structures are okay. I heard Papa many times say, liberty is actually your ability to control yourself. I didn't know that I like to control. And you know why people like to control? Because they want to keep everything safe. It's a good intention, but it's actually, it doesn't always help. Because really, you can only control yourself. You can guide the other people, but you can control yourself. I don't know how many people want prayer this morning. To be free from everything that is making you control others. To be free from everything that is making you not to walk the way you're supposed to walk. I just came this morning to share my heart. Maybe it's just one person. But I'd like us to just come forward. And let's worship God and let that issue be lifted up. Let's rise on our feet.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.